This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O Lord God, perfect in us that which is lacking of your gifts, of faith to increase it, of hope to establish it, of love to enkindle it, and make us to fear but one thing only, fearing anything more than you, our Father, our Savior, our Lord, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated. A beautiful prayer written by Lancelot Andrews, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday in our church. He is one of what we call the Anglican divines, those wise theologians at the beginning stages of the Anglican Church sort of gave us the theological background that we follow to this day. He was also one who was one of the main leaders in the translation that comes down to us as the King James Bible. We'll come back to that in a little bit. As we gather today with our reopening committee, the largest gathering that we have had in this church since the middle of March, for those of us who are here and for those of us who watch at home, the question I pose in light of today's gospel is this: are we ready to go back to church? Are we really ready? Have we learned in these 6 months what God would have wanted us to learn? Have we been transformed by the renewing of our minds in the ways that Jesus, and in the words of St. Paul today, would have us be transformed? You know, children are taught by their parents. They learn their faith in our Sunday school. They go to youth group, and then at least here at St. Joseph, it all culminates for those who can and will in a pilgrimage experience before they launch out on their own to live out their spiritual life in this world. And we hope and pray we've given them roots strong enough so that they might stay rooted in their faith as they fly with those same wings of faith. Or our job in this church is to do the same thing. To give to you the spiritual tools so that you can live your life transforming into God's likeness. So that the day came, as it did, that we don't have this holy huddle every 7 days, that we will have the spiritual tools we need to continue to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So how's that been going for you? Are we really ready to come back to church? Our job in this church is to give the tools. Our job, if we ever do it perfectly, will make me and make this building obsolete, because we will be so transformed that we will not need this gathering every week, because we are making such an incredible difference in our own lives and in the life of this world. So it becomes about authority. And the transformation has a lot for us to do with where we find that authority in our lives. The context of this gospel message: it's after Palm Sunday. Jesus has had that triumphal entry with all of the people shouting Hosanna, and the religious leaders of the day the church people like us are having a problem with this, because they were looking to themselves as the intermediaries. Right before this, Jesus storms into the temple and overturns all the tables, because they had set up these tables where they would change the money and make a little cut on the side, because the people couldn't use Caesar's money because that was considered unclean. They had to use the temple money, and yet they were making money on the whole deal anyway. Jesus says, cut out the middleman. Have your relationship, have your finding your authority in God. He spends his whole ministry trying to teach us that. Who has true authority for us? Hopefully, it is the only one who lived out that parable he tells today perfectly. The Word made flesh. The one who told us how we're supposed to live. And the one who gave us the perfect example of living that way. You know, when they were translating the King James language version, when they came to that famous verse in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, they translated, "And being made perfect, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation." Jesus, the author of our salvation. Author, authority. We even have that saying in our language, "Oh, she or he wrote the book on that." If you want to know about a certain thing, you go to the one who wrote the book. We're called to go to the one who lived the book, who is the Word. So it becomes for us then, in answering this question about are we ready, on whose authority are we living our lives, making our decisions, making our choices? Is it the one who cared for the lowest of the lowly? The one who said that all are welcome? The one who said the greatest among you is the one who serves the rest? The one who crossed all acceptable lines of society, even risking his own health and life, to ensure that all people he met received what they needed, whether they were unaccepted members of society, outcasts, ignored, or forgotten? Is that who we're looking to for our authority? William Dowles, a great preacher, when he is commenting on this particular gospel, has some powerful lines to write, and I'd like to share those with you. To follow Jesus' authority is a call to dangerous ground, a place where people like us die. To hear the call at last is to know that we die whenever we waffle and waver, spending life pleasing and pandering those around us, sometimes even in our jobs or our marriages. We die as well by sitting finally down in the front of the bus like Rosa Parks, saying to a boss that being vice president of the bank is not our ultimate goal, to an abusing spouse that we're no longer going to live like that, to a parent or child that we must live our own life. It's announcing to the one who confronts us in the bathroom mirror every morning, "I'm going to live a divided life no longer. The jig is up. The party's over. I am at long and tortuous last, ready to pay the piper of my soul." Strong words. I hope and I pray that these 6 months have given us the opportunity to re-evaluate, to change, to be transformed. And how does that happen? Well, Paul gives us the way in which it's supposed to happen in the words we hear from him in Philippians today. Do you know where Paul is when he writes these powerful words that we just read together? He's not only in quarantine, he's in a dark and dank prison. And where does Paul say we have to start? With our attitude, with the changing of our minds, with a willingness to admit that the way that perhaps I have always looked at this, I need to grow up. I need to change. I need to grow because as I look to the author of my salvation, my viewpoint needs to be a little, sometimes greatly, different. Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of one of our former presidents, quotes the great Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu and says this, "Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. And watch your character. It becomes your destiny." I pray that we can continue to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and so that as we go forward together, knowing that church means much more than this building, though we love it so much, but that as we look to him, the author of our salvation, for our authority, our attitude will be like his. May we continue to serve each other and serve our world. Amen.
Amen.